Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, he and Whitworth are both like
58 years old.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to pay Laremy Tunsil top dollar and you spent two draft picks for him, but maybe Costanzo or Jack Conklin you could have gotten and paid close to top dollar for, I would have preferred to do that this year, you know, given that the Tunsil trade didn't yield an appearance in the AFC Championship or anything, right. I'm not going to be overly crazy about it, especially if any of these guys hit free agency.
Last one on Barnwell's list, pick up Deshaun Watson's fifth-year option and sign him to an extension. I don't know why picking up his fifth-year option matters if you're signing him to an extension, but basically get Deshaun Watson locked up and signed as your quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
All right, let's do some headlines, Jonesy. Speaking of putting the roster together, the Texans did make a move yesterday. They signed nose tackle Brandon Dunn to they couch it as a contract extension. He was ready to become a free agent once the new business year started with the NFL. So I guess it's an extension because technically he's still under contract. He was going to be a free agent. They made sure he didn't hit the market. He signs a deal, Seth, 3-year deal worth $12 million, which I would imagine sounds like a lot to people for a guy who's just sort of a plugger on the defensive line. But that's the going rate for what Brandon Dunn.
Yeah, that's days. And I think that you have to hedge a little bit because you don't know if DJ Reader is going to be back, and you also don't know if JJ is going to stay healthy. JJ's been on IR 3 of the last 4 seasons, and this year when JJ went out, you had Brandon Dunn starting at the nose tackle, DJ Reader at defensive end, and that might very well happen again. Especially if maybe they start to load manage JJ a little bit this year, if they can convince him to.
Mm-hmm.
JJ's got too much of the James Harden in him, I think.
Likes to play every snap.
I bet he really like objects
sure
to the load management.
Yeah, for sure.
So I say jokingly when he's got like that's a good old school thing to
right,
have.
Right.
So I'm for it. I don't think it's not a whole bunch of money to play for a guy that's capable of starting.
Brandon Dunn got congratulations from JJ Watt on Twitter. Yes, sir, DJ Dunny, well-deserved, great player, even better teammate. That's true. Low-key thing we have not brought up here, they do get to keep their locker room DJ, so the music will remain on point in the Texans' locker room. The last part of J.J. Watt's tweet, he implores the Texans to get DJ Reader his contract extension done.
He said, hopefully DJ Reader next.
He said, DJ Reader next, please, thanks. So he's thanking William O'Brien in advance.
I think he said, or else. Are you sure he didn't say, or else?
Well, if they don't. JJ didn't do this very much where he goes out and says, hey, make sure you keep this guy, make sure you keep that guy.
We do like sometimes when we get these mic'd up segments or from Hard Knocks, we see JJ talking smack to Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. He's not going to. Yeah. Sometimes you wonder, like, how playful is that?
JJ Watt. The second half
Could JJ Watt get Bill O'Brien fired?
That's an interesting one. JJ Watt of 2014 might have been able to get him fired.
Yeah.
J.J. Watt of 2019, I don't know. I don't know if you have leverage when you miss three of the last 4 seasons when you wind up on injured reserve.
But I would say hypothetically if J.J. Watt like made himself look very disgruntled or displeased with the way Bill O'Brien ran things.
Look, we know who would win the popularity contest in Houston.
Well, but with great unpopularity sometimes comes consequences.
Yeah,
who knows?
That's right. The Rockets get the second half of the season started back up tonight. It feels like it's been a month since the Rockets played a basketball game. They last played on February 11th against the Boston Celtics. It's been a 9-day All-Star break for most of these guys. They play the Warriors. When this game was put on the schedule before the season, it was a much sexier game. Now you're playing a Warriors team that has Draymond Green as its best player. And yesterday, Draymond Green was asked what he still wants to accomplish in this season in the lottery.
A buyout. Go to a playoff team.
Draymond Green wants a buyout so he can be on a playoff team.
So he was clearly joking
but that's going to get printed. He was cackling. Jonesy's part of the problem by putting that audio.
Has it been printed multiple places as fact and that's what he wants?
I don't know. Chris Jones did our headlines. Jonesy, where did you find that audio from Draymond?
It was one of the Warriors beat writers.
Okay, yeah.
Did he say Draymond Green joked that he wanted a buyout?
Yes.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's good.
This would be a nice little experiment. Where he goes clearly joking,
yeah.
And how many people are like, how many outlets, like how many major outlets are going to report that as actual news?
I don't know if major outlets will, because that's something you would double check on, I would hope. But I guarantee you, there are people on social media who read it and took it seriously.
You would think you'd double check on it. Did you see some of the headlines immediately following the Kobe Bryant play, like something much more dire?
Yeah. I'm aware. Rockets Warriors tonight. Rockets have the Jazz this weekend in Utah.
Small ball.
This
is just like the Daryl Morey musical. Remember, it was about those tiny people.
That's right.
What were they? Were they tiny people that played basketball
or something? I didn't see Daryl Morey's musical.
I was supposed to go, and then I had to cancel at the last moment. And I wonder. I hope he doesn't hold it against me. Mm-hmm. Is it that really cool? Is it the Match Theater in Midtown?
Okay.
Really cool setup there.
It wasn't like a wedding you had to get on a plane for.
I think it's kind of general admission in those places, though. Oh. So I don't think he would have seen like. Wait a second.
Okay.
Who's not sitting in?
So the only way he knows
is row 7, seat 5.
That you didn't go is if he's listening right now.
Yes, right this moment, which I can almost guarantee you he's not.
I don't think so either. Adrian Peterson, he might be listening. He makes his home in the Houston area. If so, what up, AD? Adrian Peterson had his contract extended with the Washington Redskins yesterday. The 35-year-old running back had his club option exercised for the 2020 season. Second year of a 2-year deal, he signed last summer. Ron Rivera, the new coach of the Redskins, said in a press release, Adrian Peterson is the epitome of what it means to be a pro in this league. Adrian's leadership and passion towards the game of football will set an example of what is expected of the players in this program moving forward. Adrian Peterson continues to grind along, and not trying to make light or throw shade or do whatever. Adrian Peterson needs to keep working because his financial issues are well chronicled.
Yeah.
He's still a very effective player. I don't think he's hanging on for a paycheck necessarily.
Yeah.
But it's good for Adrian Peterson that
he had to take out a loan.
He had some bad investments.
Was it during the lockout or was it? Yeah. Sometimes guys blow their money by spending frivolously, but sometimes guys just get into a bad investment.
Right.
And so it goes. There was that image of him at a birthday party where he was riding a camel or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, he overspent on some of his parties.
The exotic animals at a party are always a telltale sign.
That someone maybe doesn't have a total grasp on.
Maybe. Well, Chris Bosh is doing fine. He had camels at his party once.
Yeah, he had multiple $100 million guaranteed contracts. You know, Adrian Peterson's made a lot of money, but he spent a lot of money.
Sometimes guys will put it in a trust, so like maybe he didn't have access to the trust until he was done playing. So he took out a loan kind of against his trust or something. Yeah,
I would say against all odds, he's made it to 35. This is a guy who came back from an ACL. In New Orleans, it looked like when he was on the Saints, remember he was on the Saints briefly and he was yelling at Sean Payton on the sidelines and glaring at him about not getting in the game?
Oh, he's proven me way wrong.
Me too. I thought he was done.
Yeah, and I didn't think he had some of the performances in him that he's had.
Yep. There is a growing sense, this according to Vincent Bonsignore, who covers the Raiders in the Bay Area, growing sense within the league that there are NFL teams prepared to inquire with the Raiders about the possibility of trading for Derek Carr. Seth, what kind of team should look into trading for Derek Carr, if any?
This is the interesting thing, Sean. There is a glut of quarterback talent now. There are quarterbacks, starting caliber quarterbacks, all over the place, and not that many teams that are actually looking at a quarterback.
We went through it yesterday. There's about 10 or 12 teams that are in the quarterback market, and there's like 16 or 17 good quarterbacks out there.
And there are also quarterbacks available in the draft. You've got at least two. So at least two of those teams. I don't know about Justin Herbert. Like, I don't know if Justin Herbert's going to be a good NFL quarterback. I mean, obviously, I don't know if any of these top three quarterbacks are going to be good
NFL
quarterbacks.
They're all going to get drafted in the first round.
They're all going to get drafted in the first round. But even with Justin Herbert especially, I feel like the other two guys, Joe Burrow and Tua, are very smart players. Justin Herbert, some of the questions are about how quickly he reads coverages and goes through his progressions and all that, his decision making. That guy might really need some time to sit and learn the game.
Yep.
But at least two, at least two teams that draft are probably going to want guys to play right away. Tua, I know there's the hip issue and how quickly he recovers from it and everything. But yeah, it's going to be...
Where does Derek Carr fall into that radar for you? You know, we don't have to go through all the names, but we know who the upper names are. The upper names are Brady and Rivers. Maybe Matthew Stafford via trade is available. Cam Newton, in terms of just a sexy name, is Carr that next tier below? Is he even below that?
He's above Cam Newton just because of health and youth.
How would you feel if the Colts made a trade? The Colts have extra draft picks.
I'd love that.
If you're a Texan fan,
I think
they trade for Derek
Carr.
Game
plan versus Derek Carr.
I do too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's above Cam Newton. He's probably at the bottom of the heap. Bridgewater would be the interesting one. I think Bridgewater, there's an unknown upside, perhaps.
Yep.
I think, okay, look, if Bridgewater's upside is that he just throws the ball close to the line of scrimmage, then what you have there is a Derek Carr.
Yeah.
If his upside is more than that, and it very well might be, because I think they managed him pretty carefully, I think I'd rather just roll the dice with Bridgewater.
So boxing is going to take center stage this weekend. Big heavyweight fight, and this doesn't happen often with boxing anymore, but this will be a fight I'm looking forward to watching. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder have a heavyweight bout for the championship in Vegas coming up this weekend. Tyson Fury, if you're not familiar with him, big personality. He's made an interesting change to his diet while training for this fight.
You've cut out Diet Cokes. I also understand that you're coming in around 270. So it sounds like you mean business in terms of sitting down on your punches and fighting more than moving. Why cut out Diet Cokes?
It's just something, a little sacrifice more. You know, I love my Diet Cokes, and I was having, I don't know, 20, 30 in a day sometimes.
Well, that's a little ridiculous.
It is a little ridiculous.
All right, so you see it, he drank 20 to 30 Diet Cokes a day. Now, granted, that's only 20 to 30 calories through those Diet Cokes, but that's motor oil you're putting into your body.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of artificial in that when you start talking about that much. Plus, some people believe that in some people's bodies respond to artificial sweeteners in a small way, like actual sugar, like it spikes their insulin. So it can have, for some people, it can have harmful effects, or at least arguably. They also, Diet Coke has 42 milligrams of caffeine times 30.
Seth is reciting this off the top of his head.
So I'm just real. So basically, you're looking at, that's like having 12 cups of coffee in a day.
Yeah, that's a lot.
That's over 1,200 milligrams of coffee. Yeah. So that's a lot of caffeine he's cutting out there, too.
I'm old enough to remember the time where Diet Coke didn't exist. It was called Tab. Remember Tab?
Oh, Coke didn't have a version of a Diet Coke?
Diet Coke was invented like back in the late 70s.
Oh,
yeah.
So Tab was like the first soda with
Tab
saccharin?
Tab was the first Diet Cola that I can remember. Jonesy, you two, you're nodding your head in there.
In the pink can.
The pink can, yeah. You can still find it in some places. Yeah.
Unveiled on July 8th, 1982.
Diet Coke?
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
So I remember Tab. I didn't know that it was a relatively recent invention, Diet Cola.
Yeah. I was in junior high. I probably just got done watching Fast Times at Ridgemont High on my VHS on my VCR for the 10th time, rewinding Phoebe Cates. And like, okay, I got to get me a Diet Coke.
You know, the good old days back when Coke was first invented, before we had all these rules and regs, Coke was touted as like a medicinal elixir.
Right.
It was, you could get away with that.
Yep.
You basically had a bunch of people running around like Tom Brady's personal trainer there, who had that supplement he claimed cured cancer.
Alex Guerrero.
And then
he
had a supplement that he claimed cured concussions.
Right.
You could just get away with that all you want.
Yep.
Coca-Cola was a health drink.
That's right.
Oh, have you seen some of these ads from the 50s? Where they talk about how essential it is to start your kid's day with sugar to give them the energy they need.
Oh, old commercials are the best. Last headline here, non-sports. This, according to the New York Post, communications employees at social networking giant Facebook routinely blow-dry CEO Mark Zuckerberg's armpits before big speeches, as claimed in a new book.
That is rich.
Zuckerberg.
Like literally rich. Not rich like, oh, that's rich.
Zuckerberg, who became famous for his perspiration during a televised interview a decade ago, quote, is consumed by his public image, according to a Bloomberg review of Stephen Levy's new book, Facebook, the inside story. The 35-year-old wants to look cool and dry instead of sweaty and nervous, so he has communications employees blow-dry his armpits. Seth, the question is, you've talked about hiring an assistant. You've talked about how much you sweat. would your assistant have to blow dry your armpits before either a big speaking engagement or a flight?
You know what? My armpits are fine because I had the procedure done like 10 years ago.
They have to blow dry the rest of your body.
To blow dry my entire body. Yeah. I would walk around with some kind of MRI looking machine that had just blow dryers all around it.
Like a car wash.
Yeah. And that would,
like the end of a drive-through car wash.
So their responsibility would be like sliding me in and pulling me out before I go out there. Right. Yeah.
How about Zuckerberg?
Zuckerberg, the worst he looked was in those congressional sessions where he had to sit on the phone book.
Was he sweating there too?
I didn't realize he was a shorter guy, or at least maybe he felt like he was. Yeah. He was, because I've seen short people testify at Congress. It's no big deal. I mean, the table is kind of sit up. I guess it makes you look like a little kid. Suck. Maybe
that means you got to get on your knees and blow dry his armpits. You know, just like to get underneath there and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And then that looks bad in the transcript too. Really, it was like, and then Mr. Zuckerberg told me to get on my knees.
Right.
And then bam! Right. All of a sudden, you're out another billion.
Right. That's right. That's right. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Bill Barnwell of ESPN.com has done his thing. He does every. This might be my favorite thing he does, Seth. In the off season. He goes through the five moves he would do for each team. I'm amazed how in-depth his knowledge is on all these teams, quite honestly.
Barnwell?
Yeah,
I think he's not sitting there spewing it from memory.
Yeah, no, but maybe so. I'm trying to give the guy a little bit of props.
I don't know. This is the problem with Barnwell. Barnwell is like, he's got a whole lot of book stats, and he'll say things sometimes that just don't make any sense. Yeah. There are a lot of other nerds that are a lot smarter than Barnwell.
Okay.
It's kind of like with Bill Simmons.
Well, he's got me snowed over.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, what were you going to say about Bill Simmons? I'm here for some Bill Simmons shade.
I feel like Simmons kind of was like a new type of sports media dude.
Yeah.
That brought a kind of a fresh voice, like the voice of the fan. After he brought that style in, a bunch of people who are smarter and better than him came in and supplanted him. And I feel bad now for some of the people working at The Ringer because I listen to them when they go on to podcasts with them. Mm. And I'm like, oh, wow, it's got to be awful to be so much smarter than your boss. Because some of those guys at The Ringer are brilliant. You know,
yeah,
I used to feel like that with Zach Lowe when Zach Lowe used to be on Simmons' podcast. And you'd feel like Zach Lowe was trying so hard to be polite and not just call his boss a moron.
So Simmons hired Barnwell at Grantland, I think, back in the day. Like, he gave the entree for Barnwell.
Well, and so Barnwell's kind of the same way. He started in with all the stat-heavy stuff and kind of made it accessible. But now there are all these other stat nerds that are just way better
that
at it.
That are better at it. So this I do enjoy that he does every year, the five moves for each team. Very consumable. Here are the five moves he has that the Texans should make this offseason. First, he has their projected cap space is $65.9 million. That's a lot of money. It's going to go quickly once they start signing some of these guys. But
if they get around to signing Tunsil and Watson.
If they
we'll see. If Mahomes decides to wait a year, then the Texans might conceivably have a little bit of a... I don't know whether they want to kick the can down the road on it or not. I don't know if they want to get it hemmed up or not.
Let's talk about it because it comes up later in this piece. Number one, replace DJ Reader. He's basically saying that DJ Reader's turned himself into a valuable player, former fifth-round pick who... He's a 347-pound tackle, which I think he's reading off of an obsolete roster. I don't think he's that heavy. But he's got a little bit of a pass rush juice to him. O'Brien and company don't seem inclined to bring back Reader, who will likely draw a deal in excess of $11 million per season. Let me stop right there. John McClain is adamant that they will bring back DJ Reader.
Yeah, he says they're going to franchise tag him if they can't come to a deal.
Do you want to franchise tag DJ Reader? Do you want to spend $14 or $15 million even on a one-year deal for a defensive tackle, albeit a really good one?
I wouldn't mind, honestly, depending on how aggressive they want to be in other areas. I'd really prefer that they have the cap space to go after one of the marquee cornerbacks. But
what if it cost you that?
I don't know if it would cost him that. I think that they're...
But what if it did? What if you had to make a choice?
No, I don't want to. Yeah. But I don't think it's going to come to that. I think they could do both. I think they can franchise tag DJ Reader and still go after a marquee free agent.
Barnwell says with needs elsewhere on the roster, plenty of contracts to be signed, the Texans could pursue a cheaper option. Patriots defensive tackle Danny Shelton could be a target in free agency. Or they could use one of their fourth-round picks on a big body. What do you think of Danny Shelton?
I don't know. If you're going to lose DJ Reader, I think if they lose DJ Reader, they don't have to go out and replace him necessarily. They have, and I think if you'd want to go, they have enough big bodies as it is. I think ideally you'd go after a guy that's a little bit more of a two-way threat. And again, this is where Barnwell doesn't get it. DJ Reader is a much better pass rushing threat than Danny Shelton is. Mm-hmm. He gets more push. He's not going to ever get a ton of sacks because he's not that kind of a dynamic athlete, but he's a more versatile and dynamic player than Danny Shelton. So I say, no, I don't want
to. You say
Shelton.
Bully on that.
I say, yeah, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
yeah. Number two, rebuild at cornerback. Yeah, you're right. He's stating some obvious things here. I take back what I said.
I'll stick up for him anytime, because Bill Barnwell once said, anytime you do 32 of anything, it's a lot. So whenever you start writing about local fan bases, nobody knows. National writers get a lot of guff for not knowing and your local fan base. Yeah. Like it gets, but then you realize, oh yeah, they're covering 32 teams.
Right.
We know this team pretty intimately.
Right, right.
So I'll cut him a break.
Okay. So it's, boy, role reversal.
I feel guilty.
So
he have a weight issue.
He talks.
Like I feel good for him.
Has he put any of it back on?
I don't think so. He's done a really good job.
Okay.
Like, he lost a ton of weight and he's kept it off. And
he
good
did.
For him.
Yep. Yeah. They still have Gerrion Conley. This is the Texans' cornerback depth chart right now. Gerrion Conley, who they still have a couple years worth of him left. Keon Crossan and Lonnie Johnson. Those are the only ones that either haven't been cut, Vernon Hargraves, or aren't pending free agents. Bradley Roby, Jonathan Joseph.
I would think that this is where Bradley Roby came here on a one year prove it deal.
Yep.
He was hoping to get some kind of the same benefit as the Honey Badger. And I don't think that teams, obviously, I would imagine he understands that he doesn't necessarily have the same cachet as Tyrann Mathieu, but that he was hoping to get a better offer than what he had, which I think the best deal was the Steelers, like a three-year...
3 years, $30 million.
3 years, $30 million.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to get a much better offer than that this year, so this time around, maybe he accepts that kind of offer from the Texans.
And if you give me over-under on Bradley Roby, $10 million a year, I will take the over on that.
Yeah.
Because I think, well, for one, just the mere fact that the cap's going to go up, so contracts are going to go up. So just cost of living inflation makes me, because I don't think he did anything to hurt himself last year on the free agent market. He was banged up. He had the hamstring injury. But I think at that position, Seth, at cornerback, where it's really hard to find elite traits and elite talent. He has both of those things. And when he was on the field, he was very, very good last year. When he played, Bradley Roby was.
But
he was very solid for the Texans.
I guess that's the question is exactly what are people anticipating? Because, okay, so this year it was his injuries. The year before, with his previous team, it was just consistency of play.
And a bit of a turd, right? Didn't he skip practice?
Yeah, he actually got fined because he just went MIA one day after a bad game, didn't show up on a Monday.
Yep.
So there's going to be question marks about it. Now, the PFF, or overthecap.com, projected a five-year, $11 million average per year.
Yeah.
So, so does he get 5 years? Does he get 3 years, $10 or $11 million per year? I would say he's like a top 10 free agent cornerback right now. Maybe top five.
I think he's going to get, honestly, I think he's going to get like 13, 14, somewhere in that range.
Byron Jones is going to get more money than him. Yep. Chris Jones Jr. is an interesting one. I think because he's going to be 31 years old and he's more, or excuse me, Chris Harris Jr.
Chris Harris.
He's
older, yeah.
He's going to be 31.
Right.
So I bet he gets like a 2 or 3 year deal. And I don't think I've wanted the Texans to go after him, but now I start to get nervous about the age.
The names that Barnwell brings up at cornerback, he says the logic that O'Brien and the Pats heavy staff will look toward former Belichick corners. That'll be interesting because Weaver's not a Belichick guy. And I wonder how much say Anthony Weaver's going to have. But continuing, the Texans could pursue veterans such as Aqib Talib or Logan Ryan. I feel like Aqib Talib might be washed.
Do you feel is Aqib Talib a Bill O'Brien type of guy?
I wonder what the definition of a Bill O'Brien type of guy is. I feel like
it's expanded a little bit. Yeah, like Vernon Hargraves. But now Vernon Hargraves didn't give any money to. Bill O'Brien has given big contracts to blue collar guys.
Yeah.
Has he given a big contract yet to his William O'Brien? Given a big contract to kind of a potential locker room distraction or whatnot?
Not that I can think of.
Okay.
Not that I can think of.
And an aged one at that, you know?
This is where I think the Texans are going to go at cornerback, Seth. I think there's going to be some cornerbacks on the market that get cut by their teams, whether it's Xavier Rhodes or A.J. Boye. Josh Norman's already been cut. Guys, I'm not saying those guys specifically, but maybe Boye, who knows? But guys like that, that have been cut by their teams. And the reason why I think he's going to go after guys like that is, one, they're going to be cheaper. Two, they won't count towards your compensatory pick formula.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, when you lose big free agents like the Texans could lose Bradley Roby or DJ Reader, that's when you get the compensatory picks. However, for every one that you lose, it gets canceled out by a free agent, a true free agent that you sign. If a guy gets cut in the middle of his contract, that's not the type of free agent that counts against that. The Texans are going to need compensatory picks in 2021 because they don't have a first or second round pick.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to attack free agency with that in mind.
I liked his third point for what his 5-part plan
yeah.
to improve the team. Stop trading away draft picks. So that goes along with that. Now, this is where it's interesting. Brian Gain, I feel bad for Brian Gain because I think Brian Gain had a 5-year plan mm-hmm. and he was following it. And I think the first couple years of that plan included saving your draft picks, collecting compensatory picks, and then eventually maybe cashing in on them or using them to trade up. And then re-signing guys like DJ Reader and whatnot. I feel like maybe Bill O'Brien just wanted to be 1 year further ahead on that plan. So that's why you get rid of Brian Gain. They're like, okay, we've got these draft picks. Let's use some of them. And here we go. We're going to get a Tunsil. We're going to get a Gerrion Conley, and we're off to the races.
I don't think O'Brien liked the fact that they had so much cap space this past year. Either.
Yeah.
That they
and I think that was part of his plan, though, too, was he wanted to be able to re-sign DJ Reader as well as Deshaun Watson. And maybe you go out and get an offensive tackle. In his mind, he was thinking, maybe we'll go out and get an offensive tackle in free agency. Sure, we'll have to pay him Laremy Tunsil type of money, but we won't have to give up 2 first-round picks for him.
Yeah.
So his sense of urgency for solving the offensive tackles wasn't where Bill O'Brien wanted it to be.
I don't know that I've done this heat check with you postseason, but I feel like we were checking in periodically throughout the season on just how we felt about the Tunsil trade.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the Tunsil trade right now?
I feel...
because the draft is imminent now. Now you start to feel the burn and the pain a little bit of not having a first-round pick.
Yeah.
These mock drafts come out and you go, well, no need to click on this. Texans don't have a first-round pick.
I know.
Right?
It's awful.
But so now that we're starting to feel some of that pain, where are you with the Tunsil trade?
I'm cautiously optimistic about it. I got to see what... if the Texans are in any kind of cap trouble next year or uncomfortable from a cap perspective, then I'm going to start judging that trade a lot more harshly as well. This year, for whatever it's worth, the offensive tackle draft class is supposed to be very, very good. Now, would they have been able to capitalize on it? Some of those guys are going to be busts. You know, Laremy Tunsil is a very, very good offensive tackle.
Yeah.
He jumps off sides or false starts too much, but he's a very good offensive tackle. There's no guarantee that any of these guys that you took this year would have panned out for you. So I'm okay with it for right now.
Yeah.
I'm not overly enthused about it. It's not like all of a sudden they fixed the pass rush issue.
Well, do you think you'll feel better or worse about it after Laremy Tunsil signs an extension, which is number 4 on Barnwell's list, by the way? Sign Tunsil to an extension. You know, he's got enormous leverage, obviously. Do you think you'll feel better or worse about the trade once he signs his extension?
That's already spent money in my mind, so it doesn't change it
at
all.
So it doesn't change it for you. Okay,
no.
So you're
it's not like it's going to come to a shock to me. Like, whoa! Wait a second. Now you paid him money too?
I think there's people out there that are a little nervous about it because there's still people that criticize O'Brien for not signing into a deal before he did the trade.
Well, this is the question. Okay, Laremy Tunsil, good player. I've long felt that you really, if you're a good offensive coordinator, you don't need an awesome offensive line. You need 5 good guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you have 5 good guys and you're an actually good offensive coordinator, you can win a Super Bowl with that. So I would have, the offensive line improved. I would have loved to see them improve more. Part of this is on Deshaun. Deshaun and the route running and play calling to help get rid of the ball faster. It's not always Deshaun's fault when he's not getting rid of the ball. Sometimes it's a play calling. But look, I don't know how many of these guys won't get franchise tagged, but if you look at the free agents, Anthony Costanzo, Jack Conklin, not Andrew Whitworth, there's, you know, boy, Jason Peters is a free.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.